Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm happy to say we are joined in studio now by Mary McAvoy and Barbara Scully. Good afternoon.
Hey. Hello there.
How's it going?
Got through that in one breath,
you did,
lads.
Yeah, you did. That was good. Yeah.
Well,
that was
good. There's times when your mouth is moving and you're not sure who's actually moving it. It's just doing it. Just, you know.
Just, you were in the zone.
You're having an out-of-body experience saying, God, you're speaking very fast there, Tom.
You know. But you're all right.
Yeah, I'm okay now. I need to lie down for a minute.
As long as you remember to breathe, you're all right.
Okay, so can I plug something?
Yes, please, Mary.
Okay. So on Saturday night, Saturday week, in Lochrue Gardens, there is an opera starring Irish opera luminaries such as Sandra Oman. Carmen is the name of the opera. Sandra Oman's in it, Oisin O'Dolly, Simon Gorman. You'd know all these now if you went around, if you're on the opera circuit. And me.
And are you performing opera?
I'm Carmen, baby.
I get out of town.
Yeah.
Really?
When did you discover this new skill?
I am the finest mezzo you have ever come across. You really, honestly, you bow down. No, actually, because Carmen is 3 hours long in reality.
Yeah.
Sandra has condensed it to an hour and a half. And how she does that is she has a narrator, which is moi.
Ah,
and I am Carmen as an older woman coming back to tell her side of the story.
Very good.
But it's in Lochrue Gardens.
Okay, great.
Saturday the 9th of August.
Brilliant.
I think it's 7 o'clock, but look it up on the Lochrue website.
Great, that sounds fantastic.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Carmen.
That would be
and your dinner, you get your dinner and
you
everything.
You get dinner as well.
With the ticket,
that is really nice. That would be a good first date if anyone was wanting to
bacon and cabbage and an apple. What more would you want?
Fab. God, that sounds lovely.
Listen, Barbara, I know you also have concerns.
I usually hide my light under loads of bushels. But
I know.
I'm doing my one-woman show, which is called Older, Bolder, Wiser, and I toured it earlier in the year. And I took a break in July and August, but my next show is the 12th of September in a gin distillery. Hello? Stillgarden Gin in Dublin 8, up
I didn't ask for more.
In Chicor area.
Had me
tickets
at gin.
On Eventbrite. Yeah. Gin and guffaws.
Yeah.
What more?
Brilliant. Yeah. You're probably wondering how two such talented people co-opted into here to give their advice to the nation.
It's to see but your shirts
do.
Usually.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it's very quiet today.
It's disappointing today.
Is,
yeah. Very boring.
Right. A lot of marital disharmony in the questions
today.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
there
is. My glass on now, make sure I don't make a mistake. Right.
Deep
my
breath.
Best friend is the problem is the theme here. I've been friends with my best friend since we were 6 years old. For over 30 years, we've been almost inseparable. We share everything and are always there for each other if the other person needs to vent. That's a burden you gladly take on for your best friend. Recently, though, she's constantly giving out of her husband, who is the father of their two children. My friend always wanted to be a mother. She's one of those people who always was the mother of our friendship group. She's not romantic, and I always got the sense she married her husband as a sort of transactional necessity to step towards having children. My take on it was that they were both adults, went into this relationship with their eyes open. To everyone's surprise, since the children have come along, he's really stepped up around the house and is frankly a fantastic father. He's always there for his girls and enthusiastic about being involved as a dad. On top of this, he's a genuinely nice fellow and she's always giving out about him. The attitude's really getting to me. So many women would love to have a husband like hers, but she doesn't see it. I really want to be honest with my friend because I always have been, but I can't really think of a diplomatic way to say what I think. Should I keep my mouth shut? There you go now. Who'd like to wade in here first?
I love this. First of all, I think it's great to have a friend since you were 6. I think that's
brilliant.
I have a friend since I was 7 and she now lives across the road from me. And
that's lovely.
Yeah. And it's wonderful to have a friend. She's probably listening. How are you? And it's great to have a friend who knows you for that long and knows all your history and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's great that she should have that. But then in the second line, she said, you know, we share everything and we're always there for each other if they need to vent. So her friend is now venting about her husband and suddenly it's a problem. So I'm kind of suspicious about that. I mean, obviously, the person who wrote the letter knows the friend very well. And she's made this kind of decision. Well, she's decided that the friend possibly married her husband in a kind of a pragmatic rather than a romantic kind of manner. Well, do you know what? I think that's very necessary if you're settling down with somebody. Romance is all very well and good.
Yeah.
But you have to also be pragmatic and
Absolutely.
Think, is this person going to have my back and am I going to be able to put up with this for long term?
This is not a weekend away we're stepping into.
No. So I think being pragmatic is entirely necessary and entirely a good thing. Now, just to throw the cat among the pigeons, and I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, because... So I was the letter writer was saying her best friend gives out a lot about her husband. But I'm wondering, what is the motivation for her writing the letter in here? Is she jealous? Because she says, oh, you know, anybody'd love her husband. He's lovely
Maybe
and he's
wants
great.
She wants herself. That's what I thought.
I'm wondering, is there a jealousy as a motivation here? Yeah. Is that why?
Did you both think that?
I kind of thought because she...
That's interesting now,
yeah,
Mary.
I kind of... Because I thought... She's looking at... It's almost wistful the way she talks about him.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that it is the case, but to me it comes across as that could be the case.
Yeah.
But I don't know about you. I mean, you have to be... People give out about each other all the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And sometimes we have friends and bickering is their love talk.
Yeah.
They constantly bicker and give out about one another and call each other all sorts of names.
Yeah.
Of people. But they're as happy as Larry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So maybe this is the way... They go
Do you remember
on.
The couple in Father Ted?
Yeah.
What were they called? Mary.
I was just washing his hair, Father.
No, they used to kill each other in the shop until Father Ted came in, and then they were all love and darling and everything else.
The other way around. Do you know what I mean?
But you see, the problem
she was drowning him.
She's not saying.
She was drowning him.
I was just washing his hair,
Father.
But the problem is that the writer of the letter is not saying that the friend gives out to the husband. She's saying that the friend gives out about him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we all give out about our partners to our girlfriends, surely. I mean, Jeannie Mac, if you couldn't, that'd be a sad day for Ireland. Do you know what I mean? If my husband's annoying me.
I'd say conversation in the country would go down about 60 or 70%.
Yeah, exactly. We'd have nothing to talk about.
Do you know, I couldn't go over to my mate across the road and go, oh my God, he's doing my actual head in. And then I come home and I can carry on.
Yes.
Do you know?
But the thing is, if it is annoying,
I see him
that
for
much,
one more second.
Honest to God, I've got to get out. Yeah. Like,
I'm hoping it's possible.
Just to try, actually, but if it is annoying her that much, why doesn't she say sometime to her, you seem to be giving out about him a lot lately, is everything okay?
Yes.
And then maybe your woman will kind of go, oh, maybe I am giving him out about him, and then realise everything is okay. Or if everything is not okay, then she's going
to again,
know.
I wonder, does our letter writer, is she in a relationship? Has she got somebody to give out about? And is that really the nub of the issue here?
Yeah. But without knowing that.
Without knowing that, we can't.
She needs to say it, doesn't she?
She does
really?
Need to say it. She's you're 30 years out all together. The time. Is it, you know, like what's, you know, what's
this
the story
man sounds
here?
Like a saint.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
But
here?
I think she should be clear about the problem. Her problem is that the friend is annoying her by giving out about her husband.
Yeah.
It's not what's going on between the friend and the husband.
Yes.
It's the friend's behavior that she's having a problem with. And honestly, surely that's part. Yeah. And she says it in the first line. That's part of being a friend.
Just it obviously seems to have been happening more recently. But anyway,
but that's all she can address. Like, I'm fed up hearing about him. Yeah. I'm fed up being given out about him.
Is there more to this?
Are you okay? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
And if it is, then stop.
That's fairly soft now.
That's very good. We've actually come to a conclusion
that's actually
on
very
that.
Adult.
And it's unanimous.
And I know, and that's adult. You know,
that was
we
quite
think
a good
we're
one.
An adult.
Yeah.
So
keep
maybe
that
we're
one.
Actually becoming one.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll move, see if we can get two in a row now.
Yeah.
Husband follows models on Instagram. I've recently noticed that some of the people my husband follows on Instagram are a bit unusual. We were watching TV recently and I wanted to check something on my socials, but my phone was upstairs, so I asked her to check on his Instagram instead. When the homepage opened, I scrolled down and it had quite a lot of models, influencers from Love Island and other bikini-clad young ladies on it. Young woman. I was a bit taken aback, to be honest. We've never watched Love Island in our lives, and he's not somebody who would be outwardly interested in celebrity gossip or anything like that. I just don't get why he would be following people like this unless he's carrying out some sort of voyeuristic fantasy. I mentioned it to him and he laughed it off, saying, I don't know who I follow half the time. Should I confront him about this and ask him to unfollow these accounts? It makes me very uncomfortable to think that he's looking at these provocative images of women going around their swimmer on beaches. Any advice, please?
Yes, she should confront him, I think.
Yeah.
Like, say, for instance, if one came up, it could be an accident.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of them, it's not an accident. If it's a duck and it walks like a duck, then it's a Love Island, you know, basically.
Yeah.
With the lips to carry on the duck theme.
Very good, Mary.
I know, I took my lion's mane this morning. I'm firing on all cylinders.
You're firing on all cylinders.
But like, no, it's disrespectful. And it's, I'll get going patriarchy now in a minute. But I just think this whole business of men looking at these nubile women privately if they're married and consuming women in that way is very distasteful. particularly, as I say, Love Island, he's probably old enough to be their father. You know what I mean? So I would definitely confront him. Personally, if I found something like that in my fella's phone, which I wouldn't, I know I wouldn't, but I'd kind of go, I want to know what's going on. And if you can't give me a proper explanation, we're really going to have to sit down and talk with
Janie.
This. Very, I would. I'd be
weird,
very.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
It's very disrespectful.
I don't know.
I can't understand why you'd want to follow them. I mean, if they're just saying girls in bikinis.
Yeah, but also remember on the other side of that, and I'm totally on board with the patriarchal kind of thing, but on the other side of that, these are young, attractive women who sign up. Now, I mean, you can have the debate about whether they're being exploited by programs such as Love Island, which are totally built around them walking around in bikinis with full hair and makeup done 24/7.
And why they bother with the back of the bikinis is beyond me.
But these, you know, you've got to accept that there are women who are entitled to do that if that's what they want to do. Yeah. These women, influencers, are deliberately putting these images out of themselves. They haven't. It's not like the case of somebody who's sharing a private image privately and somebody is managing to hijack that. These are women influencers. This is their job. They put these things out on Instagram for people to consume. Her husband is consuming. So there's that. There's the other thing is that, you know, as somebody who probably uses Instagram way too much, once you spend any time looking at one thing, you're going to get 100 ton of it afterwards, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you make the fatal mistake by accident clicking on something and then you just get a load of it coming at you. I'm trying to think of what it was recently.
I'll say earwax removers. Honestly, God, what did I do wrong in the world that I need to be shown earwax?
You obviously enjoyed looking at earwax removal for a brief.
It might have been a hearing thing or something.
Yeah,
or an age. Could be age related.
Oh, yeah. It's all age related. I used to get also. I've gone ad free on Instagram. And before that, I was always getting, you know.
So you're paying for your Instagram?
Well, I'd rather that than become
fair enough. Instagram's quite crap. Yeah.
But to get back, there's not. I don't know. This to me sounds like.
But you know, if she brought the husband on the beach on his holidays,
he'd be
in
looking
Spain,
left, right, and centre.
He's going to be looking left. But you cannot control what somebody else looks at.
But I think you can.
I think you can on Instagram. I think you can. You can decide what you look at.
Oh, you can.
You don't
but I mean, he. Well, you can, and you can, obviously. But is he not in? I'm not sure. I'd get quite so kind of worked up about it. I mean, I wouldn't be happy about it necessarily, but at the same time, like, men are off leeches.
Ah, yeah, we are.
Do you know?
Totally, yeah.
And so if you put something like that,
you don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. Isn't that one of the great rules?
It's rich.
You don't want to make somebody uncomfortable. So if you were out with someone and their head was spinning looking at everyone, you'd have to have a word.
Yeah, I mean, it's like looking at.
How does
do you know
that
if you go
feel?
Online and you look at fabulous houses? You know, you're never going to buy a fabulous house. You know,
you're not married. You're not married to a fabulous house.
You don't go and have conjugal relations with a fabulous house.
No, you don't.
That's true. But like, he's only looking. He's not having conjugal relations with these women. He's only looking at them. Not sure. I wouldn't. I'd be a little bit more.
No.
The jury's out on this one.
Well, my jury isn't out. My jury is
very definite. I'm a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listener says, I'd be more embarrassed to be found to be a fan of Love Island than to be found looking at scantily clad women.
Yeah, I did watch it one series.
We all watched it at home.
But like, once you've seen one, you've seen them all. Like,
my children
all
watch it.
I can't deal.
Yeah.
They do not, do they?
They do, yeah. Well, they're 17 and 19.
They're old, like,
you know.
He's ancient.
I know he's ancient.
They're entitled to.
I don't know.
I can't be in the room.
You look older in that shirt, I think that's what it is.
Is that what it is? Yeah. I'm back to the happy shirt.
For those of you who are not looking at the cameras, he looks like a Tory politician on it. what do you call it? Dress Down Friday, is it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tory politician on Dress Down Friday.
I'll never wear this shirt again. Thank you for the feedback.
You're all right, Keir. You're grand.
Right, now on to the division of the sexes. It's a non-scoring draw there in the last round.
Yes.
I have been my Irish partner for 4 years. I'm Swedish, but I've lived here in Ireland for 7 years. Over the 4 years, I've obviously gotten to know my boyfriend's family and friends. I'm very close to his mother and his sisters, which is great. But I've noticed an odd trend with him, which seems to be very common amongst Irish men in general. I know his friends. I've met them many times, but apparently I'm precluded from really being friends with them. It's so odd. He goes out with his mates and I'm never invited, but if I go with my friends, he would always be invited and go along, and often does. I have a mix of male and female friends, but all of his friends are lads. They're always perfectly friendly on a surface level, but that's all it has ever been. And the only time I really meet them is at events like weddings or birthdays, of which the expectation seems to be that I will hang out with the other girlfriends. But I don't know them at all. I know their boyfriends better, so why would I speak to them? This is also why I said I'm close to his mother and sisters. I'm not really included in conversations with his fathers or his brothers. Is this some Irish Catholic school cultural thing that I'm missing out on? Should I address this with them, or is it just the way things are here in Ireland?
Yeah, I think this is really, really interesting, actually, because, and it's not something I actually noticed before until I read this letter, but clearly it is a legacy of the fact that not just mine and Mary's generation, but my kids and possibly your kids, most young people in Ireland still are educated, particularly at secondary level, in single sex schools that are run by religious orders. Now, I could get out a soapbox and deliver quite a long speech about how it is beyond time to remove religious orders from schools in this country, especially religious orders that nearly hardly don't exist anymore. Yeah. But they still dominate our secondary school public system. And I really have a problem with that. But it does mean that, you know, as young people, we leave school. And as I say, I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about my kids as well, with a cohort of friends who are the same sex as you are. So, you know, I came out of school with a load of girlfriends. I have daughters. They all came out of school with their cohort of girlfriends who are still probably their closest mates because they spent all that time together. So, yes, it clearly is a cultural thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I think it would be far better. Although studies have shown that girls do better in single sex schools than boys do.
Yes.
Yeah. They achieve better academically. They feel freer to be themselves and to pursue topics, whatever way they want. But I do think that it's not healthy to divide people by gender or sex or whatever for education. So I think we should put an end to that. Yeah. But I think we should also put an end to the religious orders being involved.
Sports
in our
also plays a part, doesn't it? Because they're going to play rugby or soccer or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, they do that in other countries as well. But I think if you've been at school
in a mixed group,
you would come out of school with friends, in my case, who were boys. I mean, we came out of school and we got all very overexcited every time we went to a disco and there was actually boys there.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Because we didn't have any experience of hanging around with lads.
Girls were on this huge pedestal for us coming out of boys' school, so we didn't know how to talk to them, approach them. Yeah. We'd been given these ideas of what they were
and then
really
do you remember
like?
The mad panic about trying to find a fella to ask to your debs?
Yeah.
Like you left school in June and the Debs was coming down the tracks in September and you didn't know any fellas.
None.
And you had this like mad urgency then to go and find a fella long before there was social media or apps or anything. Mm. You had to go out just look for one. Yeah. And I had to look for one who was over 6 feet tall. I'm telling you.
And just to get one. It was like such a relief. Oh, geez, thank God. I found
never had
somebody.
A Debs. Maybe that was why.
Did you not, Mary?
No, I had none of those.
None
kind
of those things.
What do you call them? Coming of age things.
Yeah. What do you think about this?
To me, it smacked of, you know, back in the 50s going to mass when the women were one side and the men were the other. And always, there's something about that I get from this, that there's something that the
judgy.
Men... Judgy. And but no. I mean, in other countries, they can have a separate education for kids. Maybe the religious orders aren't as strong, but I mean, if you go to France or you go to any European country, really, you'll see generations of people who are a mixed gender all sitting together and having. There isn't this, you know, the men in one room and the women in another room. I'm not saying that that's quite what happens there, but I'm sure it's very mysterious. The other thing I did think of. I mean, maybe it's specifically to this girl. I wonder, is she very beautiful? And I wonder, is she very attractive? And the guy doesn't want her to be hanging around with his mates, do you know, and keep her there. I don't know. But I don't think it's that's great now, in fairness. I don't think it's great. And I think that going forward, if she decides to settle down with him or settles down in Ireland.
Yeah.
I think it could become a problem for her because that goes on. That will go on and solidify, do you know, as with all sorts of, you know, the weddings, the births, the
I think it's because Yeah, I think it's because it's so inculcated in us from the time we're small, but that we hang around in same-sex groups.
It's surprising. When I'm reading this, that to me sounds like a letter written during the 1980s.
But it's true. She's right.
That hasn't changed.
But I think
this
Swedish
person coming over here with their fancy notions of, you know, men and women.
No, I think it's because of our education that we tend to...
It's still going on.
We don't make a conscious decision that the boys are all going to be over here and the girls are all going to be over here. But it's just that we come out of school with this cohort of close friends who are... the same as us. And therefore, that's your go-to group all the time. And it's like, you know, if you train an animal to do a certain thing a certain way, it's kind of like a habit almost.
Right.
I think it's a shame.
Our listeners might have a bit of input into that. Is it still the case?
She's going out with this guy, she's got to be 20 to 30, put it that way. So I don't know whether that in that age group, that we'd still have the same problem. That we'd still have the same problems. Do you know? So, I mean, like, could she not say, maybe just enlighten them a bit? You know, like, it's funny.
I do think she should say it. Yes, right. I do think she should.
Listen,
say
I was going to try and fit one more in because we only have 4 minutes left. It might even be a straight yes or no on the next one, but I wouldn't mind getting your view on it. I've discovered that one of my close friends has been sleeping with somebody she works with and is due to get married this year. She is so blasé about it, but I just can't stop thinking about what she is doing. She fully intends on going through with the wedding, which is going to cost an enormous amount of money. She told me she can't imagine life without her partner and that this affair is just a bit of fun. I discovered it because two of us were away on a girl's holiday and she was on a Snapchat constantly, which I know her fiance isn't on. She told me after a good few drinks one night and said she couldn't imagine having sex with one person for the rest of her life and she was having a lot of fun with this guy. I know both her and her fiance. We all grew up together and they have been childhood sweethearts. I think she wants the best of both worlds. I'm not sure. It's just watch on. I'm due to be a bridesmaid, but I feel so guilty if I say nothing as I share these vows that she doesn't mean. I think she needs to just break up with him now, call off the wedding, but that doesn't want to face up the reality, and she's looking for more. If I speak up, I lose her as a friend because this will blow up their lives. What should I do?
Again, and normally when we get questions like this, I would always say, don't get involved in other people's relationships. Sure. You don't know what's going on. But in this case, this poor fella is going to walk blindly into a very serious commitment to this woman who isn't serious at all.
No.
And he needs to know that. Yeah. So I think she should tell him.
I think she should refuse.
Or tell her. Tell her,
I think
not
she
him.
Should say, you can carry on if you want. I'm not co-signing your bullshit. I'm not going to be your bridesmaid.
Yeah.
And you can do what you like after that, but I am not going to participate in you basically lying through your teeth to this man, and you'll probably end up ruining his life. Definitely, straight out. She's not a friend to you either, because she's capable of doing that to another human being. She'll do it to you as well.
And she's in a situation now, if she says that to your one may say, all right, don't go to the wedding. So she's then in a situation where does she have to tell the groom?
But I mean, I don't think she should tell the groom, but no. I definitely think I think what Mary has suggested is very good. I'm not being your bridesmaid because I'm not co-signing this nonsense that you're going on with. It's very mean to do that to somebody else that you supposedly love. And I also think it comes back to, like she said at one stage about the wedding and it costing loads of money and everything. And I think sometimes this focus on the actual day itself and what you're wearing and, you know, two days of celebration and everything, you forget that you're actually making a very serious commitment, which should be long-term commitment to somebody else, and to do it while you're also cheating on him behind his back is awful. It's unconscionable. So I think she should say it to the friend, and she should bail out.
Okay.
Yeah, but don't let it go any further. I think it's a despicable, really.
A bit of reactions so far on the man looking at the models. Doesn't matter where they get their appetite as long as they eat their meals at home. reverse this. Would you be okay if he starts telling her what she can watch? Says Chris. Well, as long as it's not lads in their underwear. Does your wife ever want to look at pictures of young hunky men in magazines or on social media?
No, I find them revolting. I'm not the wife, by the way. But
I would.
Irish, and on the gender thing, Irish people are friendly but not nice. We're a smaller, more insular country. It's
That's
not a
awful.
Catholic thing.
We are very nice.
We can be.
I think we're nice. I'm very happy to be Irish. I think.
Oh,
we're
I'm very happy to be Irish, but I'm not
think
nice.
We're nice.
I don't
pretend to be
nice.
You're not nice. You're nice.
I agree with Barbara about the church domination of education in this country. However, the study about girls doing better in single sex schools has long been debunked.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, girls do better in all types of schools.
Okay, well,
just girls
we
do
just
better.
Do better.
Just girls do better. Yeah. That's true. Yeah,
Full stop.
No, I'll go with that. Girls do better.
I don't understand.
Keep your texts coming to 53106. That is the machine that is taking over this studio. That is the actual voice of AI, which
yes,
is going
exactly
to be running the studio very soon. Mary, Barbara, thank you both very much.
We're going to be
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.